Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice and will be glad in it. And I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, today is just another wonderful and glorious day that we come to lift up and to exalt the wonderful name of Jesus on today. And I am so glad that you have joined me on today. Yes, you. I am just so excited that you're here with me on today. And we're in for just another glorious, glorious treat on today. I tell you, it's nothing like hearing the broken bread of the word of the Lord and in the form of teaching. I tell you, I just love the word of the Lord. And on today, we're going to be talking about the great I am. I tell you, you are in for a treat. So come on right on in and just make yourself right at home, and you're going to be tremendously blessed. And so our scripture is going to be found over on today as we begin to look at our passage of scripture. It's going to be found over in John chapter number 8, verses 12 to 13. Then we're going to look at verses number 24, and then verses 33 through 37, and verse 56 through verse number 59. And this is all coming out of the book of John, chapter number 8. And so let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for all that you've done and given us. We ask, oh God, that your blessing will continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore, even for every listener that will listen to this lesson. May it be fruitful to their spirit. Let it rhema jump forth and let understanding be birthed out, God. And Father, we'll give your name the glory and the honor in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Again, today our lesson is the great I am. We're going to look at Jesus being and is the sum total of the Old Testament prophecy. We're going to further look into and get again a better understanding of the great I am. And we're going to take a look at that on today. Now, the scripture reads over in John's chapter number 8. It said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Pharisee therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sin, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. Verse 33 to verse number 39 read, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word have no place in you. Let's look at verses number 56 through verse number 59, and that's again in the book of John, John chapter number 8, verses number 56 down to verse number 59. And it reads on this line, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art yet 50 years old, and how thou seest have seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so pass by. So far, reading of the scripture from John chapter number 8. There's one other scripture that I want to read in your hearing. That's John chapter 4, verses 21. And it reads on this line, and Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Let's take a look at this lesson on today as we begin to gain a better understanding about the great I am. Now, in this lesson, there are many great truths, but three especially are very outstanding. First of all, Jesus is proclaimed as the light of the world that set men free from darkness. Then he is shown as the Son who set men free from the bondage of sin. And finally, he is revealed as God who was manifested in the flesh as Israel Messiah. And as such, he is the sum total of the Old Testament prophecy and the one who was able to free men from their tradition by a revelation of who he is. Now, these truths were spoken as Jesus taught in the part of the tabernacle in the temple that was called the treasury. And you'll find that over in John 8 and 20. This was the location in which the court of the women and the only place in the temple where the women were allowed to come in. It was a place where Jesus often resorted. You'll find that over in Mark chapter 12, verses 41. It was a characteristic of our Lord who ministered with the indebtedness to the help of many women. And you'll find where Luke, he depicts the ministry greatly of Jesus' ministry unto women. But you'll find some passage of scripture over in Luke 8, chapter 8, verses 2 through verses number 3, that his discourse on the freedom was made in a place where women were free to come. Now, let's take a look further at this particular lesson, because again, we're talking about the great I am. Now, the event of the day's lesson occurred in the second year of Jesus' ministry when opposition was becoming more intense. Although attempts had been made to arrest him, there were some Jews who sought to kill him. However, Jesus was working towards a certain hour or time when the event in his life would culminate in the cross, and he planned his schedule in the accordance with the divine will. Now, Jesus had come to Jerusalem to attend the Feast of Tabernacles, which began on the 15th day of the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. One of the features of this great feast was the illumination of the city at nightfall and the lightning of the great 50-cubit high candelabra, which was supposed to remind the Jews of the pillar of the fire which led them in the wilderness. It was a fitting setting for Jesus to introduce his teaching concerning the light of the world. Now, the Declaration of Independence of the United States spoke of the fact that men were endowed by their Creator with rights to live life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. However, men had often been denied their rights by different circumstances, and Jesus showed us how that men could be truly free and have the light of life walking in the truth which he came to reveal. Now, when we look further at the message, we'll be able to recognize that some things that have transpired. Let's look at the light of the world and freedom from darkness. Now, when Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world," it was one of his greatest proclamation and pronunciation and things. For there are three things which the scriptures state as primarily characteristics of God. God is a spirit, and you'll find that over in John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is light in 1 John 1 and 5. And God is love, 1 John 4 and 8. When Jesus declared himself the light of the world, he was declaring himself to be the Almighty God. For all light, physical and moral and spiritual, comes from God. Now let's look at the physical light. What is light? The question has puzzled man for many centuries, but he has finally decided that light is the form of energy that can travel through space. It can come from a natural source, one that man does not control, or an artificial one that man controls. However, in each instance, light comes from tiny particles of matter called atoms, and the sun is most important natural source of light. Now, our understanding of the source of light takes us back to the one who has created the sun and every other and time of matter. He made the great light, the sun to rule by day, and the moon and the star to rule by night. Psalms 136, verses 7 through 9. He is the Lord of lords. Psalms 136, verses 3, and he is the God of gods. Psalms 136, and verse number 2. He is the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We'll find James talking about that in chapter 1, verse 17. Now, Jesus is that creator. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. It is significant that these words were uttered on the first day of creation, for it was on the fourth day that the sun, moon, and star appear. God's light was given before he made the sun. Therefore, God is the ultimate source of light. In the New Jerusalem, they needed no candles, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, Revelations 22 and 5. Now, John records of Jesus Christ says that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And you'll find that over in several passages of Scripture. Number one, you'll find it over in John chapter number 1, verses number 3. And then you'll also find it over in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 17. Now, Jesus is responsible for the world's physical light. He made the sun, he made the moon, and he made the star, and he made man, and he is the light. Now, let's take a look at the moral light. There are another sense in which Jesus is light unto all men, not only to the believers. This is revealed in the fact that Jesus is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You'll find that over again in John chapter 1, verses number 9. Now, God has given to mankind a moral consciousness, which we all share even before we become believers. And it is interesting that in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, immediately preceding our present lesson, Jesus was confronted with an adulterous woman. And when Jesus replied, let him that is without sin cast the first stone, all of the women accused her, they left, being convicted by their own conscience. What was it that caused these accusers to flee so precariously? It was the moral sense that each of them possessed that convict and condemned them. Now, it is true that man can become so devoid of feeling that they can become as brutal as beasts. It is possible for man's conscience to become severed with a hot iron until they cannot reason clearly. Conscience can be so twisted by erroneous teaching that man can kill true believers and think that they've done God a service. Yet this is because the light that was in them became darkened. How great is the darkness? Men have given an inward whisper that talks to their baser nature, a shaft of moral sensibility that calls them to mercy, justice, and compassion. This is why Adam fled from the presence of God when he became aware of his own nakedness. This is why he then prayed to an unknown God. Every man is given a moral light. And Jesus Christ is that true light that lights every man that come into the world. Now, let's take another look at another aspect, and that is our spiritual light. When Jesus said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life, he was speaking of the spiritual light that comes only through those who follow Christ. This was the eternal life for living which Jesus gave to those who actually follow after him. This light has to do with knowledge and with truth. Jesus, as those who walked in the physical darkness, do not know the truth about themselves and their surrounding because they cannot see. So those who do not have the light of life are unconscious of many spiritual things that are only received as they follow Christ. This divine light primarily revealed two opposite areas of truth necessary for our salvation. This is the light revealed that reveals sin and also revealed Jesus Christ. Now let's look at this. Light is a revealer of sin. When we follow Christ, we are made conscious of our imperfections. As our sins are revealed to us, we recognize them and seek cleansing. You'll see John 3, verses number 19 through 21. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Isaiah 66 and verse number 5. And compare it with John chapter 12 and verse 41. The darkness and symbolic of wicked deeds and unrighteousness, but God had called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. You'll first see that over in 1 Peter 2, verses number 9. We must cast off the work of darkness and put on the armor of light. Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 12. Now, coming close to Christ caused Zacharias to repent. And when Simon saw the great draught of fish, he explained, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am an unclean man." And as we follow Christ and as his light shines into our lives, we see what manner of man we are, and we take steps for correction. Let's look at number two as what the light does, how it reveals. Light is a revealer of Christ. It was the spiritual darkness that caused the Jews to reject Christ. They did not know who he was. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. Men are still in darkness concerning the identity of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is often comes as men walk with him. The blind man who was healed by Jesus met Jesus afterwards. And when Jesus asked, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" the blind man replied, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Then Jesus said, "It is he that talketh with thee." John 9, verses 35 through 37. The blind man had been healed. He did not know who Jesus was. Now, Philip of Bethsaida had walked many months with Jesus when he made the request, "Lord, show us the Father." And Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." 1 John chapter number 14, verses 8 through 9. Now, the two disciples on the road, Emmaus road, felt their heart burn within them, but they did not recognize him until their eyes were open. And when they knew him, it was a great revelation when Christ revealed himself unto us, and we see who he is. Such as it is, when he revealed himself, we're able to see for ourselves. And I encourage you to cry out to God for even more revelation and watch God do it in and through your life. Now, let's look. Jesus said, "Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. While ye have light, believe in the light." John 12, verses 35 through verse 36. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You find that over in Proverbs 4 and verse number 18. Sometimes our path to God is not completely revealed. As we follow step by step, the way becomes clearer and we see the path revealed. Now, when Peter refuses to let Jesus wash his feet, Jesus said, in essence, "Peter, what I am doing to you, you do not understand now, but go ahead and obey. And later you will understand what I'm doing." Baptism in the name of Jesus is clearly taught in the Bible. However, sometimes because of a clouded conception of God's Godhead, candidates are reluctant to be baptized. Since the Bible is clear on the subject of baptism, we should obey the Bible in baptism and ask God to open our understanding concerning that which we do not fully comprehend. And so we must begin to ask God and seek him for a greater understanding. If you don't understand about the baptism in the name of Jesus, because there is great controversy around it, and some teach it and some don't, but I would encourage you and things. I would just invite you to consider, you know, asking God to open up your understanding that you may understand what God is saying. Now, the will of God is often given to us one step at a time. We should follow the known will of God, trusting him to reveal the unknown in his own good time. Just as the pillar of the fire led the children of Israel, they stopped when it stopped and moved when it moved. So we should let God lead us into the fullness of the light of life. Now, let's take a look further at another aspect of God is being the liberator. Now, the liberator of freedom, freedom from bondage. Now, the second great concept that is taught in this scripture passage is that Jesus is a great liberator from sin. This concept is introduced in verse 24 when the unbeliever Pharisee was told, "If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin." In verse 32, the thought is continued when Jesus promised, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And finally, in verse 36, Jesus said, "If the Son, therefore, shall make thee free, you shall be free indeed." Here are seen three principles which produce freedom. Number one, they are your faith. Number two, truth. And number three, power. And let's take a look at each one of these aspects. The freedom through faith. Jesus said, "If you believe not, you shall die in your sin." It follows that faith in Jesus Christ is necessary for a person to be free from their sin. The importance of faith is seen in Hebrews 11 and 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Moreover, Mark 16 and 16 remind us that faith is necessary prerequisite for even salvation. Faith is the common denominator of all its religious experience. It is absolutely essential in order for a person to find freedom from sin. Now, faith alone is not significant. That faith must be centered on Jesus Christ, who is our Savior from sin. And you'll see that over in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 12. This is why Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin." Unless a person accepts his claim and unless he believes his word, he is unable to be saved. Let us suppose a person appeared to a group of men who was confined to a prison, and he told them, "I know the way out of this place if you follow me, and I will lead you out. I am your liberator." Even though this man spoke truth, even though he knew the way to liberty, only those who believed in him enough to follow him will find a way to freedom. The other will be left and still prisoner, still hopelessly, and still doomed to die. And such as it is, it was said in South America, the llama would stand for hours with a rope placed over his neck, even though he did not, he is not tried. All he has to do is to be free is to drop his neck, and the rope will fall. But stubbornly and stupidly, he will not do it. He said that the Jews of the day refused to believe him and was left in both spiritual and natural bondage. When the Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Faith is the path out of sin and into freedom. Let's look at another freedom through truth. Now, when Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," he spoke about everything that is involved in truth. It is the truth of the word, the truth of the gospel, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Unless we rightfully divide the word of truth, we will possibly become confused and even be deceived by trying to take the word out of the verse or passage of scripture and interpreting them to exclude all other verses of the scripture on the same subject will fail to perceive truth. Invariably, when we reject the truth of the scripture, we embrace falsehood and believe a lie. For an example, when we are told that the baptism saved us, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, we must understand that this does not mean that baptism is the only thing necessary to save us. We are told that we are sanctified by the blood of Christ. This does not mean that everything else is excluded. The Spirit, the name, the word, and all else that is involved. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and he is the personification of truth. John 1, verses 17, John 14 and 6. We must worship God in truth. John 4, verses 24. We must come to knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. And receive the truth, believe the truth, and acknowledge the truth, and obey the truth. And you find that over in Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 12, 2 Timothy 2, verses 25, 1 Peter 1 and 22. It is true that 2 plus 2 equals 4, but this is not the truth that saves us. We are saved by the truth of the gospel. Now, the Jews refused to admit that they have never been in bondage. They said, we are Abraham's seed, and we have never been in bondage to any man. Now, the blindness of their hearts to this truth condition is seen in the fact that they forgot that they have been under bondage in the Egyptian, the Chaldeans, and the Syrians, and the Romans. In the spiritual realm, their own prophets and historians testify to many times that they have been spiritually enslaved by false worship and false gods. Now, the most terrible enslavement is spiritual enslavement. The truancy of sin is far more to be feared than the truancy of men, for the spiritual enslavement has eternal consequences. The only hope of deliverance from the bondage from sin is through the truth of the gospel. Now, when Peter was asked, what shall we do? He replied, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, Acts 2, verse 38. Water baptism is part of that truth which Jesus has given that frees man from sin. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead, Colossians 2, verses number 12. Now, Peter continued his answer, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2 and 38. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, has his part to play in freeing us from the power of sin. Now, let's look at another area of power, and that's freedom, and that's freedom through power. Jesus gave the basic source of spiritual freedom when he said, he whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Back of every emotion and action that is involved with spiritual liberty is the power of Jesus Christ. It is the Son who makes man free. It is his prerogative. It is his act of redemption. It is his own sovereign act of grace to set man free. Now, the scripture saying over in Titus 3 and 5 said, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his own mercy, he saved us by washing the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Also, Ephesians 2 and 8, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Now, Jesus said, he begot us with the word of truth, James chapter 1, verse 18. Peter said that we have purified our soul in obeying the truth, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Paul said that it is God's desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of that truth, 1 Timothy 2 and 4. As we obey the truth of Jesus Christ, he sets us free. Now, let's look at another area and aspect here as we begin to bring some conclusion to this wonderful lesson on today, I tell you, there's so many great things here. It's the eternal one and the freedom from tradition. Now, perhaps the greatest grand theme of this particular lesson is that of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. Through this truth, we state in the claim that he was the light of the world and that he could set men free. And it is clearly revealed when Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." By using the term "I am," Jesus associated himself with a term that had long been recognized as the name of deity. No wonder his blinded listener took up stones to stone him. Now let's look further. Now the everlasting Father. Now when Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day," and he spoke from the standpoint of his deity, he did not say "our father Abraham" or "my father Abraham," but "your father Abraham." Through Christ, though Christ was of the seed of Abraham, according to the flesh, he was from everlasting to everlasting as far as his deity was concerned. You can see that at Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Now, in this instance, he did not wish to emphasize his humanity, but to emphasize his deity. It has been suggested that Abraham was the day of Christ in the three ways. Number one, by having faith in the promises of God, Hebrews 11 and verse number 10 and verse 13 and 16. Number two, by offering up Isaac and receiving him as a figure as from the dead. He saw Christ as a type of the dead and of his death and the resurrection. Number three, by a special revelation which he saw things to come, Peter chapter number 1, verses 10 through verse number 12. In the intervening verse, Jesus dealt with this perishness of his Jewish listeners by discussing their natural and their spiritual genealogy. He commended, his comment had referred to the three fathers, Abraham, God, and the devil. And let's take a look at these three. Abraham, Jesus acknowledged that there was Abraham's seed physically, John 8 and 37, but denied that there was Abraham's seed spiritually because they sought to kill him. He said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would not do the work of would you do the work of Abraham?" John 8 and 39. And then number two, of God. The Jews then claimed that they had one father, God, John 8 and 41. Jesus reminded them that if God was their father, they would love him. Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father, over in Isaiah 9 and 6. When we saw him, we saw the Father, John 14 and 9. When we denied him, we denied the Father. When we acknowledge him, we acknowledge the Father, John 2 and 23. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son, 2 John chapter number 9, or verse number 9. Now let's look finally at the devil. Jesus bluntly revealed to his listener how far that they were from the truth by saying that God was their father, and at the same time rejected Jesus, who was Emmanuel, God with us. They have proved themselves liars by taking up stones to stone him, and that they showed themselves as murderers. These two characteristics of lying and murdering were both characteristics of the devil. So Jesus told them that their father was the devil. And Jesus gave them three great insults of Jesus, which he felt would discredit him in the eyes of the people. Now let's look further. They also accused him of being born of fornication by stating, "We do not born of fornication. It is felt that they cast doubt upon Jesus' birth, and the Jewish liberated literature, when Jesus is mentioned, he is referred to as Jesus, son of Pandera, who was supposed to have been his father. Now, again, they accuse Jesus of being the Samaritan. Jesus, the Jews depict the Samaritan as having no dealing with them. And when they accused Jesus of being a Samaritan, it was one of the basest insult that they could offer him. Then finally, they accused Jesus of having a devil. This charge was especially emphasized when Jesus said, "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death," John 8:51. We can only imagine this when Jesus went on to say that he was the I Am. And let's take a look at this great I Am. It states here, and there was 23 times in the book of John that the word said, "I am," and they are used by Jesus Christ. Some of the most outstanding of these are that when the words are coupled with the seven metaphor, which expresses Christ's revelation or relationship to the church. Let's take a look at these. He said, "I am the bread of life." You'll find that over in John 6:35. He said, "I am the light of the world," John 8:12. "I am the door of the sheep," John 10:7-9. "I am the good shepherd," John 10:11-14. "I am the resurrection and the light," John 11:25. "I am the way, the truth, and the light," life, John 14:6. And then finally, "I am the true vine," John 15:1-5. However, the greatest expression of Christ's attributes of deity was evidenced when there was no object and the words can stand by itself and alone. Since the time that Jehovah had said to Moses, "Thus shall thy say unto the children of Israel, I have been sent unto you," these words have been the title of deity. Three times in the title is used by Jesus in the 8th chapter, John 8:24, verse 28, and also verse 58. By Jesus' statement that he was before Abraham, though he was not yet 50 years old, Jesus enraged the Jews. His claim that he was the I Am further infuriated them, because not only it placed him before Abraham, but above Abraham in dignity and in honor. Also, by using the title of deity, Jesus was declaring himself to be God. And so they understood, and so they responded. Since they refused to accept his claims, they took up stones that they might stone him as a blasphemer, that they were wrought in their design by the fact that Jesus hid himself, probably by becoming invisible through some think he simply had hid himself in the crowd. So the light of the world and the liberator of men and the great I Am passed by. Those who refuse his light remain in darkness and blindness of their hearts and bondage of their sin. Today, the light still shine on in the darkness, which cannot comprehend it and is unreceptive to it. But for those who will listen to his gracious word, Christ still stands as the beacon of hope to a troubled world on a stormy sea. He offered truth to those who will receive it, and those who will walk in his light will come to know him as the great I Am and will find that he is his truth, will make them free indeed. And so, child of God, in my conclusion on today, this wonderful lesson, at the close of the Feast of the Tabernacle in the second year of the ministry of Jesus Christ, he took the opportunity while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple to present three great truths to his listeners. The first of the great truths that he gave to the people was that he was the light of the world. And by making this statement, Jesus proclaimed himself as the creator who was responsible for the physical light that is in the world, and as the maker of the sun, the moon, and the heavenly bodies, as well as the metered materials made in the artificial light. He is responsible for the light that man enjoy. He is also responsible for the moral nature of man, by which man have an inward moral sensibility. Finally, he is responsible for giving to those who follow him spiritual light, which he calls the light of life. This equivalent to eternal life, and those who follow him may have it. The second great truth is that Jesus taught that he had the power to set men free. He has invested that power in the truth, which he has revealed unto man by acknowledging and obeying the truth. Men have been set free. However, the truth is the means by which we use to bring freedom. Since he is the author and the agent of freedom, the Son set man free indeed. And finally, the revelation that Jesus gave in the 8th chapter of John had to do with his eternal deity. By the use of the term I am, Jesus openly asserted his claim to being God. He was not only older than Abraham, but as God, he had eternally and all other things that pertains to deity. Jesus' claim was rejected by his listeners, and when they took up the stones to kill him, he left their presence and passed by them, and they remained behind in their darkness and in their unbelief and in their sin. If we do not wish Christ to pass us by, we should walk in the light, obey the truth, acknowledge him not only as the Son of righteousness and the bright morning star, but even also as the great I am, the everlasting Father. And yes, as he has said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And so, child of God, the great I am, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the great I am, I tell you, I am so excited about the Lord our God and all of his wonderful blessing that he wants to bless and bestow upon this people. And so, children of God, as we continue to walk in the truth, embrace the truth, follow the truth, God is going to truly bless us and open the eyes of our understanding and move on us in a mighty and a special way, because we dare to be the men and the women of God that he called to as we follow after him in truth. And so, people of God, let the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Continue to walk in the light, which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has so graciously left for us and is for us each and every day. Watch him bless you in his house through and through, because we take our time to acknowledge him first. And the scripture says if we acknowledge him first, he would direct our path. And so I come to tell you and encourage you, continue to acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And so in my closing, as I always will say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is just ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. And so, child of God, watch God bless you as you continue to obey his word and his truth, continue to seek after him. He will greatly bless you and undergird you as never before. And so, child of God, until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. And I pray that a no sorrow blessing will come to your house today as you continue to worship him and lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And so let us lift him up as never before. Until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord be with you. Bye-bye.